I am speaking to you at a moment of grave crisis.
I'm Jeff Turner, and this is Recall. It's a series about history. Not the ancient past, but history that's still hot to the touch. In this first season, I explore a revolutionary political movement that brought a modern democracy to the brink. You can find Recall, How to Start a Revolution, on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hi, I'm Ian Hanemansing. Welcome to Checkup's Ask Me Anything podcast. And today you're about to hear our AMA about COVID and kids.
Ask me anything!
It is difficult to predict what will happen this fall regarding the co-circulation of influenza, RSV, and COVID-19.
A lot of people around me get sick, but I think a lot of people kind of got tired of all the vaccination.
The first thing is to picture your child as a virus factory. Every breath, every cough, every sneeze that comes out of that cute little face is full of viruses.
Well, fall is officially here, which means respiratory season is underway, along with the heightened risk of getting COVID. This week, Health Canada officially approved Pfizer's one-dose vaccine targeting the Omicron variant. It'll be available in the coming weeks, along with flu shots. And last Thursday, BC reinstated the mask mandate in healthcare settings. With Thanksgiving coming up and families gathering indoors, you may need another reminder on how to try to keep your kids safe this fall. Our AMA guest is Dr. Fatima Kakar. She is a pediatric infectious diseases specialist at Saint-Justin Hospital in Montreal and an associate professor in pediatrics at the University of Montreal. And she joined us to take questions about COVID, RSV, and other respiratory illnesses. Here are some highlights from the show. Dr. Kakar, it's been a while. Really nice to have you on the program again.
It's nice to be back, even though I wish viral season wasn't here. It's a good time to talk about it.
Well, and speaking of that, anecdotally at your hospital, what are you seeing when it comes to COVID?
It is back. So I was covering the pediatric ward last week, and I always see what's happening on the ward as just a snapshot of what's going on in communities. And for the first time in many months, I've had hospitalizations for COVID. So kids getting sick, alongside with COVID, RSV, and rhinovirus. And I think that the biggest message I've had, or the thing I've seen, is that nobody thought it was COVID. So kids are coming in, they're very sick, and the parents are shocked when the test comes back positive for COVID. So we're seeing a lot of it, and most people didn't know that they had COVID.
That's interesting, because in my circles, it's kind of the other way around. Anytime people's, you know, start having cold-like or flu-like symptoms, they immediately think, oh man, I think this is it. This is COVID. What do you think is happening in Montreal that at least in the people you're seeing, you know, assume it's not COVID?
What's happened in the last couple of weeks is that kids have gone back to school and daycare. So there's been this explosion of viruses. So kids have been just getting cold after cold after cold. And parents have stopped wondering if it's COVID or just another cold. Mm. So they've just assumed that older sibling with the runny nose or the sore throat is just a routine cold. And so I think with younger kids, because they've been getting sick so often these last couple of weeks, parents have just stopped worrying about COVID and just assumed that it's something ordinary until they get brought into hospital.
Fair enough. That makes a lot of sense. What about RSV? Are you seeing much of that?
That has started, unfortunately, and we were hoping we were going to have a different year than last year. We were hoping it was going to be later, November, December. But as of last week, our first hospitalized cases are here. So there's a lot of pressure and urgency to get RSV vaccination up and running and prevention for the younger kids, because RSV really does overwhelm the pediatric hospitals, and we tend to be full because little babies get into such trouble from it. So as of last week, it is officially here, and it's going to be on the rise, we anticipate.
I feel like parents of babies and infants know about RSV. They probably hear about it from their primary care doctor. But for those of us who don't have little kids, remind us what RSV is.
RSV is like the common cold. So it really causes runny nose, respiratory symptoms. It's just that in babies, because it creates such inflammation, they have a lot of trouble breathing. But RSV can actually be really severe in older adults as well, people with asthma, chronic lung disease, and even the elderly. And there's actually an RSV vaccine that's just been approved for the elderly, the older populations. So it's something that can be really severe in people that have some sort of underlying illness.
Let's talk about the COVID shots, the vaccines. I shouldn't admit this live on the air, but I've kind of lost track of what's out there and when people should be having it and what's going on. What's the update on COVID shots?
You've nailed it. Everybody's lost track of their last doses, what's going on. The bottom line is that we need to think about COVID vaccine like your annual flu shots. You'll be getting a flu shot and you'll be getting an updated COVID vaccine. So as of last week, there are two updated COVID vaccines available, both Pfizer and Moderna. So it's really time to get your updated vaccine for the new circulating variants. People are wondering, well, I've had two shots, I've had one shot, I've had COVID, what's the recommendation? In general, if it's been 6 months since your last vaccine or 6 months since you've had COVID, you really should get an updated shot. So really, we're thinking of it like an annual flu shot, an annual COVID shot that's going to be really targeted to the variants we have right now.
Dr. Kakkar, let me ask you some quick questions and just to update in terms of the vaccine. First of all, if one were to go to social media, as I do, you see a lot of people saying these vaccines have not been properly tested. They're not safe. I assume that's wrong. What would you say on those points?
Exactly. And I think, you know, we're 3 years into this and we've got now 3 years and millions of doses given and really strong surveillance systems across the world looking at signals. And so we don't have signals of adverse safety events with both of these vaccines, both the Moderna and the Pfizer shot. And I think people initially, I understand when it was released, people had questions. They were brand new. It was a new technology. But we're 3 years into it, and really, there is no clear signal of any adverse effects. And the contrary is true. We've seen how well it's done to prevent people from getting sick, preventing hospitalizations, preventing deaths from COVID. So I urge them to look at the other side of things and, you know, 3 years worth of experience showing how well these vaccines have worked. It's really for the next phase of this winter that we need to keep that up.
And so let me sort of underscore that or have you underscore that in a follow-up question. And that is early on in this pandemic when there was no shot and then there was a shot, that was such a big step. Like we went from, you know, having to lock down in order to stay safe. And then all of a sudden we had the vaccine that we could take. And early on, it could mean preventing getting COVID or at least greatly reducing the chances we would get COVID. Then we have the variants, and then we have a lot of people out there who have had COVID. Where are we at right now in terms of the correlation between getting the shot and getting COVID or getting COVID with a serious case? What's the correlation between the shot and illness?
So more and more we realize that the shot won't always prevent you from getting the infection just because the variants are mutating so quickly. So it's never going to be 100% adapted maybe for the virus that you catch, but you're going to have immunity. And when you encounter that virus with immunity, you are going to get less sick. So there's countless stories and people have had that personal experience where they only had a runny nose, they only had a sore throat. Whereas if they hadn't been vaccinated and if they think back to their first COVID or those who were unfortunate enough to get it, then people who were severely sick, people who were out of it for 10 days, 2 weeks, people were, they felt like they'd been run over and really incapacitated. So the difference now is that really getting the vaccine is going to prevent you from getting that sick again. It's not necessarily going to prevent you from getting it, but you won't get sick. So you might just have a mild illness, which I think for most people is a game changer because you're not going to be incapacitated for all those weeks.
Dennis Eubanks is, if these notes are correct, in Philadelphia. Hi, Denise.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good. What's your question for Dr. Kakkar?
Mine was concerning the difference between the COVID-19 and the RSV vaccines and the actual disease itself. What is the difference?
So the difference, first of all, between the vaccines for RSV and COVID?
Yes.
Okay. Denise, thank you very much. I think this is the first time I've had a call from Philadelphia, so I really appreciate that. Dr. Kakkar, first of all, presumably RSV and COVID, two different illnesses, two different viruses, two different shots. Where are we at in terms of the RSV vaccine for adults?
No, and Denise raises a great question because she's in the U.S. And so the RSV vaccine is brand new. So it was recently approved. And I think in some pharmacies in the U.S., it's already being sold. Here in Canada, it's available, but again, it's not under the provincial recommendations yet. So there is a new RSV vaccine for older adults over age 60 with chronic conditions, but it's not readily available. Whereas in the US, I think it's much more available right now. And the recommendations are really to discuss with your physician whether they think it's a good idea for you. And I think in general, any older person with underlying lung disease who might be in contact with young kids is a very good candidate for the RSV vaccine. That's RSV, and it really is a very different illness than COVID, and that RSV is usually just respiratory. So it really just affects your nose, your lungs, whereas COVID affects your entire system. And the biggest difference when people are getting the infection for the first time is that RSV could be really limited, especially in healthy people, whereas COVID really causes everything, your muscles to ache, and it can really cause disease in all of your different organs, which is why COVID has been so severe. So in general, COVID much more severe for all people, but RSV much more severe for infants and older adults. Both have vaccines, but the COVID vaccine is really approved across country in Canada and in the US, and it's publicly available, whereas RSV isn't yet.
Denise, thank you very much for that question, and that answer was really interesting.
I am speaking to you at a moment of grave crisis.
I'm Jeff Turner, and this is Recall. It's a series about history, not the ancient past, but history that's still hot to the touch. In this first season, I explore a revolutionary political movement that brought a modern democracy to the brink. You can find Recall, How to Start a Revolution, on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next caller is in Edmonton, Francis Retta. Hi, Francis.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's your question for Dr. Kakkar?
Well, I came down with COVID on the 18th of September, and I am still testing positive. And I went through the antivirals, and I'm not sick enough to be hospitalized, but I guess you can tell my voice is kind of suppressed a little bit. And I've got lots of phlegm coming up from when I cough and when I breathe. I can't really take a complete full breath without coughing up a little bit. So I'm not really sure what to do with this. So it's kind of an odd thing. I thought the antivirals kind of kicked in because at one point the T-line on one of the tests was very faint. And the last two tests, the T-line is darker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where to head. Do I head to an emergency? Do I head to a family doctor? What do I do?
Yes, Francis, stay on the line. Dr. Kakkar, what would you say to Francis?
No, it's a very common question, actually. People who've taken Paxlovid sometimes have what they call a rebound effect, where initially the amount of virus and the testing goes down, and then after a week or two, the amount actually goes up. And it's almost like your body has fought it off, and now it's actually producing more of a response. So as far as what to do, the questions are you contagious to other people, and are you going to be in an environment where you're going to be close to other high-risk people? And in general, we recommend you still isolate if you're symptomatic and still testing positive. But the next question for yourself is, could this be a complication after COVID? Now, in general, if you're feeling worse, if you're getting a fever, if you're having more difficulty breathing, you could be having a secondary infection after COVID, a pneumonia, a bacterial infection that settles in after the viral infection. So I would suggest that if you are feeling worse and if you're developing a new fever, that's definitely a reason to go see your doctor. If you're having trouble breathing, and that's a reason to go to emergency. So it's really depending on where you are compared to where you were a few days ago.
Francis, do you have a follow-up question for Dr. Kakkar?
Just wondering, in terms of the breathing, how bad does it have to get before I go to the hospital? Because right now, I cough up a little bit of phlegm, but I can still take a full breath if I take it slowly. So at what point does the breathing issue become like severe to the point where it triggers off the alarm, go to the emergency?
Okay, and I'm a pediatrician, so I have to preface by saying that. But in general, if you're able to sleep through the night, that's a sign that you're okay. And that if it's only when you're exerting yourself and you're doing a lot of work that you're having trouble breathing, generally it should be getting better. But if at any point you're struggling to breathe, you're not able to sleep, that's definitely a reason to see your doctor, maybe get a chest x-ray to see what's happening. So it's really depending on where you were and what your baseline is. If you're an asthmatic and you generally have trouble breathing versus if you've never had trouble breathing before. So it really depends on where you are right now as opposed to where you were a few days ago. But if you're able to sleep through the night, do some general activities, okay, you should be okay.
And when in doubt, I mean, if you feel, Francis, that you need to go into emergency, which I know can be long waits, and but still, like when you start feeling worried, better, I would say, to err on the side of going in than not going in, Francis. Thank you. Rachel Lay is in Waterloo, Ontario, and Dr. Kakkar, you'll be interested to know that after many calls of people who wouldn't go see a pediatric infectious disease specialist, Rachel has a question about her two-year-old. Rachel?
Hi there. So my daughter is 2 years old, and we got her first COVID vaccine about a year ago. And then the second one got very delayed because she actually got COVID from daycare. So now we want to go get her second vaccine, but my hesitation is that her first vaccine was at a pediatric clinic where our region specializes in, you know, babies, toddlers only. I'm a little bit hesitant to take her to just a general pharmacist. What's your thought on it?
Oh, that's a great question and a good concern, but I have such strong faith in our pharmacists and our vaccine, our everybody who's been doing the COVID vaccines, whether through the clinics or the pharmacies. They're generally very good, and they will tell you if they're not at ease with young kids or toddlers. There are actually certain pharmacies in Quebec that won't vaccinate young kids because they're not at ease with it. So I think if your pharmacy is available and they're willing to do it, they generally have the experience too. So I wouldn't hesitate. People who do vaccines know how to distract and how to minimize the pain. So I wouldn't hesitate.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, any follow-up?
Is there anything I should look where I go to take my vaccine? For me, I'd love to see a specialty pediatric. I know the staff are really good with toddlers.
I would just ask your site, you know, do they have experience with children? Because many pharmacies are actually used to doing vaccines for influenza and are now going to be taking up the COVID vaccine. So I would ask the people doing the vaccinations, do they have experience with children? And in general, people who are doing these vaccinations have actually had a long history of doing this for all kinds of routine childhood vaccines. So, and people who do this generally are those who are the most experienced. I wouldn't hesitate, but I would be safe and just ask them.
We have time for one more call, and it happens to be from Montreal. And I think it's a question a lot of people have, and it's from Maureen Capper. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's your question for Dr. Kakkar?
My question is, I have a cold right now. I tested twice for COVID. It's negative. But I'm flying out on Friday for a short visit. And I wanted to take a booster shot before I go, but I read somewhere that if your immune system is already fighting something else, then your body may not mount enough of an immune response to COVID if you have it. So some people are saying, wait until you're well. Don't take the booster if you're sick. So I wanted to know what Dr. Picard thought about that.
Yeah, Dr. Kakkar?
So in general, we do recommend avoiding getting a vaccine while you're actively unwell, but especially if you have a fever. In general, if you're at the residual end of an illness, then it's okay to get your vaccine. So it really depends where in the stage of your illness are. If you're still acutely unwell, you have a fever, then we do recommend waiting. But I wouldn't wait too long. So I know it's a tough one for you given you're flying out, but I think the vaccines won't be available by Friday. So I think you'll have to get it on your return. But as a general rule, if you have a fever, that's not the time to get your vaccine.
Okay, right. I don't have a fever and I've been sick for a week and I think it's a residual cough now. And how long would it take to be effective to mount an immune reaction generally?
So it won't be immediate. So it won't be in time for next week. It'll usually take at least 3 to 4 weeks for it to have effect. And that's why we want people to get them now in time for sort of midwinter to Christmas. So it'll take at least 3 to 4 weeks.
All right, Maureen, thank you very much. 3 to 4 weeks, Dr. Kakkar? Somehow I missed that. I was expecting much quicker response by the immune system after the shot. So I have to keep that in mind. It is so nice to have you on the program and really appreciate your answering questions from people across the country and of all ages. We have 1 minute left, and I wonder if any last words from you, Dr. Kakkar.
I think it's time to just remember that viral season is here and it's happening, and that it's important to assume that the cold you have could be COVID. So if you're in a population at risk, or if you're seeing at risk, someone at risk, get tested. And also to remember there's treatments out there for COVID. So again, if you're at that age group, get yourself tested if you think it's COVID. And just, you know, viruses are going around. So protect yourselves, protect infants, protect the elderly. Stay away if you can when you're sick, and wear a mask when you're sick. And I think if we do all those things, we'll be able to hopefully decrease the severity of this viral season coming up.
Excellent advice. Nice to have you on the show. But because COVID is the reason you're on the show, not to nice to have you on the show, if you know what I mean.
You're very welcome.
That was a portion of Cross Country Checkup's AMA about COVID and virus season with Dr. Fatima Kakar. She's a pediatric infectious disease specialist at Saint-Justin Hospital and an associate professor in pediatrics at the University of Montreal. If you'd like to listen to yesterday's full two-hour edition of Cross Country Checkup, you can find it by downloading or streaming the podcast at cbc.ca/checkup or the CBC Listen app. And if you'd like to share comments or appear on the show, you can go to cbc.ca/aircheck. I'm Ian Hanna-Mansing. Thanks for listening. The next live edition of Checkup airs on CBC Radio and CBC News Network next Sunday.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.